Thank you for being here this morning. If you are a visitor, please know that you are an honored guest. We'd ask if you would please take the little white card out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address so we might have a record of your attendance. How many has heard the phrase, "Oh, so close, but yet so far"? Meaning, you almost made it, but at the last, you missed the mark. A lot of people made their way to the cross on Calvary. Some were there because of hatred. Others were there because of love. Some were there because it was their job. However, one can be close to the cross and miss the glorious thing that happened there. Now, I want to ask you this morning, if you will, find yourself in the three profiles that we're going to look at this morning. You know, when I imagine in my mind, and believe me, it takes an effort to imagine what it was like when Christ was nailed to the cross. I imagine that there are, or were, many of the Jewish haters that was there that wanted to see this gangster put to death. And I can imagine that there were those that were there because of their love for Christ. We know the Apostle John was there. We know that Jesus' mother was there because before Christ died, he basically told John, "This is your mother. Take care of her." And I can imagine also that there were many of the Roman soldiers there because it was their job to be there. Now, one of the first individuals that we kind of run across was Simon, a Cyrene. You remember him, don't you? In Matthew chapter 27, verse 32, that Brother Wayne read a moment ago, "And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross." And then we read in Mark chapter 15, verse 21, "And they compelled one Simon of Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." Now, from what I can gather by this simple verse here, is that Simon was actually just passing through, minding his own business. But this man, Simon, was forced to the cross. However, there's no indication that this man had any real interest in Jesus. By this verse, it says that he was passing by, coming out of the country, and the Roman soldiers snatched him up and said, "You carry his cross. So Simon was actually forced to the cross. Now, I ask the question, to find yourself in one of the profiles of the three people that we're going to look at, would you say that you fit into Simon? Can you identify with Simon? My sister Kathy, who lives up in Wisconsin, she's been married to Mark for 30 some odd years, maybe closer to 40. Her husband attended church with her every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday, yet he never obeyed the gospel, and he still hasn't. Many times a husband only comes for the wife. And you probably know individuals that have worshiped here before, that the husband or the wife simply came because the wife or the husband came. But yet they never obeyed the gospel. Oh, so close. But yet so far. Many times children come because of their parents. You can ask our son, John. When he was growing up, we drug him to church every Sunday. Many times, children come because of their parents, because when they're extremely young, the parents, you know, grab them by the hand and bring them in. But many times, those children grow up and never obey the gospel. Oh, so close, but yet so far. And many times, a mother. Many times, a mother simply comes because of her children. Many times, a mother will bring her children in to worship into Bible class because They want their children to learn about God. But yet the mother may not have any interest at all in learning herself. And it's sad to say, many preachers fall into this category as Simon. They simply show up to get paid. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I could have made a lot more money doing what I was doing before I started preaching. Simon of Cyrene, forced to the cross. Again, there's no indication that the man had any real interest in Jesus. He was forced to the cross. And many times, husbands and children and mothers and even preachers are forced to the cross because of wives or children or money. Do you find yourself today in the person of Simon? Secondly, what about the soldiers? The Roman soldiers were basically foolish at the cross. They were right there. They were right there at the cross. They were the ones that nailed Jesus to that wooden cross. But yet they totally missed the significance of what they were doing. Take your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start reading in verse 34. Matthew 27, start reading in verse 34. They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, or bitterness. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Now, we go on to verse 38. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, shaking their heads. Now, were they shaking their heads in disgust? Or were they shaking their head and saying, "Poor Jesus"? We don't know. But I take it here that they were probably shaking their head, and not because they were disgusted, because they were witnessing another crucifixion. You remember watching the old cowboy shows when they're going to do a public hanging? Everybody in the surrounding country would show up. They'd even bring their kids. And the merchants would be out there selling pop and candy and everything to all of the people getting ready to watch the man being put to death. And I kind of imagine, again, in my mind, that this is kind of what's taking place. People were there for the spectacle. All right, let's go on, verse 40. "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it up in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." See, they were there because they truly believed that Jesus, the heretic that he was, needed to be put to death. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot even save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Notice, if you will, again, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 35. Matthew 27:35, "And they crucified and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." The soldiers were totally oblivious to the significance of what was taking place. They were literally gambling for his clothing. Now, I don't know if they had dice, you know. You know how people play with dice? I don't know what they was gambling with. But I can imagine that the one that won picked up the clothing and shook it and said, "Look at what I've got." Probably as proud as a peacock that he was able to win the clothing of Christ, with no thought of who Christ truly was. As they gambled for his clothing, they failed to understand that Jesus had something infinitely more valuable to give them. What was the value, what was the valuable thing that Christ could have given those Roman soldiers? Forgiveness of sin. Salvation. Are we missing the significance of the cross? Can you find yourself like the Roman soldiers? Oh, I come to church. I'm here, you know, most of the time. But do we truly grasp the significance of Christ's death on the cross and what it means to us? Or are we like the Roman soldiers, foolish at the cross? And then we have the thief. Then we have the thief. The thief was forgiven at the cross because he was truly remorseful. Take your Bibles, turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, I'm going to start reading in verse 39. Luke 23, starting in verse 39. And one of the malefactors, one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." I'm just imagining the two thieves, one on each side of Christ. Both of them knowing that they're going to hang on that cross until they're dead. Knowing that there is no way for clemency or forgiveness so that they might be brought down off of that cross to live. And here's one of the thieves. He's ridiculing the Savior. Right, look at verse 39 again. And one of the malefactors which were railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Hey, buddy. You're dying too. You ought to be looking to God. You ought to be seeking God's forgiveness. But what you're doing is not helping your situation at all. And the other answer, verse 40, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. We deserve what we're getting. But this man hath did nothing amiss." This man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, I'm not going to get in to people's claim that verse right there, verse 43, proves that baptism is not required because the thief was never baptized. We won't get into that today. But you know, staring death in the face causes people to review their lives and rearrange their priorities. Doesn't it? Staring death in the face will cause people to review their lives and rearrange their priorities. I know I have said this before, so please bear with me. I visited with an elderly man that were basically dying. And he said, "John, I'm scared. I don't think I have been good enough." And I simply told him, "You're right. You've not been good enough. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Because we're not good enough." Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 and chapter 6, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." Although this thief had nothing to offer Jesus but genuine remorse, Jesus showed him mercy and gave him eternal life. Three people: Simon, basically being forced to the cross. Do you feel like you have been forced to Jesus? Are you like Simon? You're just here because of your wife or your husband or your children? What about the Roman soldiers? Have you come simply to see how many mistakes the preacher makes? Or to listen to whatever gossip somebody might be telling about somebody else in the church? Are you coming to the cross for the right reason? This is not a social club. It's the church. We should come with a glad heart of worship and praise, knowing that God's presence is here because we as God's children are here. Or do we simply think the cross is just foolish? or perhaps you find yourself like the thief. Maybe the one on the one hand didn't find anything worthy to say about Jesus. Did not think that Jesus had anything to offer. But yet the other one truly did understand the significance of what was taking place. That an innocent man was being put to death for the sins of mankind. Have you found eternal life at the cross? Now, at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, so long ago when Christ was nailed to the cross, Simon went home. He went and had supper. The soldiers, they completed their task. They completed their job. Jesus was condemned to death, and they saw it through. They completed their assignment. And both of the thieves died. All three were so close to the cross. But you know what? Only one received the benefits of the cross. Today, this very moment, we are all close to the cross of Jesus. But when the last amen is said and we leave, how will your story end? Will it end like Simon? Will you just simply go home and have supper? Or perhaps maybe you're thinking, well, I've completed my task for this week. I showed up today. Or are we going to be remorseful, brokenhearted because of sin, and seek forgiveness? This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, baptism washes away sin. You can be brought up as a new creature to walk in newness of life. All sin forgiven. Be like the thief on the cross that said to Jesus, "Remember me." Or if you're here and you're already a child of God, maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints. If that's the case, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
How thine affection has been nailed to the cross, is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss?